and a very good morning to you all. And thanks very much for all of your comments as well. Some nice ones coming in, Pat and Ennis among them, wishing us a very happy Christmas and thanking us for our work across the year. We thank each and one of you for joining us of a weekday morning and right across the week here on Clare FM. On the Cribs too, Mary reckons this country is a joke. If we go to an Arab country, they won't change their beliefs to suit us at Christmas. We go their way or it's no way, we are a joke. Mary, the Crib issue again, no one is trying to disrespect other religions or none. Instead, those of other faiths or none who've been welcomed and given a new start in our country are disrespecting our culture and beliefs by trying to dictate what we can and cannot do within our own country. I would say there's probably a lot of Irish people who'd be critical of it as well, though that's the only thing as well. But a lot of people very much of the view that the Cribs should be in place. And a couple of emails have come in the last couple of days as well. Michael Gallery and Innes Diamond, good morning to you. This is going back to Blake's Corner. He's welcoming the announcement this week of apartheid application by Clare County Council. Not a perfect solution, but a very good improvement, he says. He reckons it'll improve traffic flow by up to 70%. It's unfortunate that a home and business have to be demolished, but he says a 70% improvement is to be welcomed. And there's more in that message as well. And as well as that, yesterday when Maura Finn was with us, Dr. Finn, we were talking about the test for dementia, and I recalled a true story of the father of a friend of mine who, as part of a similar test, when asked by a young doctor who the US president was, turned around and said, "Son, you don't want to know." Tony was not happy. "I've been a long-time listener, but I've had enough of Gavin Grace putting down Donald Trump. On this show, he did it again, but in a different way. You didn't mention Donald Trump, but you made a joke of him. Why not have a whole show on Donald Trump and why you don't like him?" Happy Christmas, Tony. Thanks for your email. All feedback, more than welcome. Let's take a bit of music now. We're going to keep the Christmas theme going. Your advice for cooking your turkey coming in a couple of minutes' time. But first of all, Helen Houlihan, who was with us earlier in the week, this In the Bleak Midwinter. They're in the Bleak Midwinter. Now we're looking ahead to Christmas Day. We're looking ahead to Christmas dinner right now. Frank Landy joins us, chef from the Rowan Tree in Ennis. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, everyone.
And thanks very much for joining us on the programme. You've been helping Brian out with cooking all year, and indeed this week with this as well. But we said we'd make sure
we'd recap and
get over it as well. Your mantra is get help, basically.
Yes, and everybody knows that person at home who does the dinner, be it Nana or Mam, who's always inside in the kitchen getting everything ready. And look, unless you're a domestic goddess like Doreena Allen or Nigella Lawson, everybody needs a little bit of help, and I include myself in that, a professional chef. So go in, tidy round, put some plates away, ask can anything be peeled, ask can anything be done. And again, the best advice I can give anyone is just do a list for yourself, try and get as much done as you can in advance, and try not to stress over the day. And as I was saying earlier on, I heard a great line from Rachel Allen during the week, and she said that very, very hot gravy covers up a multitude of mistakes. So just we'll remember that for the rest of the day.
Absolutely, indeed. The other thing that I always remember from this, though, and a message I have previously taken out of it, help is important, but so too is prep and doing bits, not just on Christmas Day itself, but I don't know if tomorrow's too soon,
but certainly
Sunday.
I think even today, if you have your veg list done today, write down the veg list, write down everything you want to have for your veg. And priority number one today, I'm going to call it to my vegman, I'm going to buy my veg. That's the veg done. That's one less thing to worry about. And I'll include the strawberries and the pineapples and the bits and pieces like that. And even your lemon or lime for your little cocktails later on. Whatever is on your veg list, everything that comes from a veg shop, put it on your list today and get out of the way. One less thing to be worrying about. Mm. And a great one I like to do on Christmas Eve as well as that is I boil my carrot and parsnip and I put it into a roasting tray. I might have my potatoes parboiled that I'll use for my roast potatoes. I'll have my potatoes peeled for my mashed potatoes. I'll have a lot of stuff done out of the way.
And how do you keep them fresh?
In water, cold water, and even with a damp cloth. Some people like to say, for my parboiled potatoes or roast potatoes, once they're parboiled, I take them off, I drain them. They can dry out all they want because they'll be just going into the oven with the oil from the turkey. But my own potatoes, once I peel the potatoes, I leave them in cold water. And no salt, no nothing. Leave them cold water with a lid on, they'll be perfect tomorrow. Change the water, put in more cold water, add your salt, boil them up then.
And that's the same for carrots, parsnips,
carrot and parsnip. What I like to do with carrot and parsnip is actually the Christmas Eve, I peel my carrot and parsnip and I mash them Christmas Eve and I put them onto a roast tray like a lasagna dish. Mm. And I might just, I'll put tinfoil over them and then I'll bake them off in the oven later on. I'll have all my vegetables, like my sweet potatoes or my butternut squash or whatever vegetables I'm roasting. I'll have them cut and prepped and tossed in a little bit of oil. They're ready to go in at some stage into the oven. So on the day, I'm not finding myself running around like a lunatic in the kitchen. And another great tip for everybody is this, is that the turkey stuff. I think if you can make that, especially on Christmas Eve, a little bit of butter, a few onions, some herbs, and some fresh cranberries, or even some dried cranberries or sultana, chop them up and throw them into, sweat them all off nice and slowly, add in your breadcrumbs in. Now make it good and dry. So what I like to do is I like to put that away in a container. And then as the turkey's cooking, I'll take a little bit of juice out of turkey and I'll moisten up the stuffing.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Rather than shoving it into the bird.
I don't recommend that.
And nobody does. And you know what? Even with the stuffing, then once I have it moistened to the consistency I want, I roll it in tinfoil and it gives like a big, huge sausage. And then later on, as 10 minutes before turkey's ready, I'll just slip that into the oven. So you've got lovely.
How long will that take to cook?
That will make 10 minutes to warm through. That's it. 10 minutes to warm through. But the great thing about the stuffing is that it's not coming out of the bird, you're not spooning it out of the bird. It's lovely and dry. You can leave it on the table. People can take as much stuffing as they want or as little stuffing as they want.
Absolutely.
And another chance, if people get at some stage, maybe today or tomorrow, to do a roast chicken for themselves, save the carcass, roast the carcass off, maybe with your giblets that you get from the turkey, roast them off, take them out, put them in a little bit of cold water on Christmas Eve and boil them up for as long as you can. And even if you've got a cup or two of juice, leave it to the side, and you'll notice on Christmas Day when you come back the fat will have gone to the top, so spoon away the fat off it, and those two little cups of juice will do wonders to an average biscuit.
Okay. Will they not congeal then?
They will congeal it to a lovely jelly. That's the jelly you want.
That's what you want.
That's what you're buying. If you're some of those little stock packets that you see the chefs advertising on TV, that's actually the jelly that they're making. That's what they're using. But this little trick of a natural stock brings a normal biscuit gravy to another level altogether. Okay. You know, and maybe a spoon of red currant jelly, maybe a pinch of rosemary, maybe a drop of red wine into the sauce, just to kind of make your own. And as I said to you there, try not to stress around the kitchen and just get as much as possibly can.
I'm on soup duty this year.
Brilliant. My favourite job of the whole lot. You can make the soup today in advance. You're off Christmas Day as far as I'm concerned anyway. My most favourite soup for a day like Christmas Day is a butternut squash soup, butternut squash and carrots. So basically just peel the butternut squash, peel a few carrots, put them into the pan, cook them really, really slowly. Mm. No colour, no nothing. I'm talking half an hour, maybe even a little bit longer with the lid on. Nothing else. Then I'll add in my little bit of chicken stock into it, maybe a tiny spoon of curry powder and half a tin
curry
of coconut
powder.
Curry powder, coconut milk and ginger with this is immaculate. So you've got the warmth of the fresh ginger, you've got a hint from the curry powder, maybe a teaspoon or two, and then you've the coconut milk. And what it does is it gives it this most beautiful kind of a velvety Indian style without the kick of a curry. So it's just like a warmth. And a lovely way to start today. People love just little espresso cups of this. So when lads come over to my house, basically when they're mulling around, I just pass out espresso cups of. So I hope that's followable. I genuinely think it is. And I think when you're adding stock and quantities, this, that, and the whole lot, kind of pour in your stock slowly. Well, as you're gunning your soup, you know how much
you know about
feel.
Texture. I smile as you say curry powder, and I hope he's listening because my father used to put curry powder in everything.
Oh, you're bad.
I've had curry powder with spaghetti bolognese. Genuinely.
Just to give it a kick.
Just exactly. It goes with everything.
Chips curry. That's my dad's love that.
Absolutely. The only thing that wasn't made for a long time was curry, but that's a whole other thing. Anyway, good morning to my dad if he's listening. Other starters then, what would you recommend?
I genuinely do believe in going to your fishmonger at some stage, even today or tomorrow, have your little fish for fishermen, buy some lovely smoked salmon. We have the most beautiful smoked salmon maker in the whole of the Western Ireland, living in our shores, above in the Burren Brugina. What I do is maybe get some smoked salmon for yourself, get a bag of prawns, cook the prawns. Now, for the prawns, if they're cooked, great. If they're not, what I do is take them home, put on your pot of boiling water, put in some lemon, put in some fennel bulb, boil it up, pour in your prawns, and as soon as the prawns go in, turn it off. Give them about 5 or 6 minutes inside, just to cook to it. Just, you don't want them cooked hard and rubbery. So what I like to do is, as soon as I put in the prawns, even from frozen, I turn off the water. And there's enough heat in that pot to finish off the prawns. Strain them off, drain them in cold water. They're ready for you for tomorrow. And again, a Mary roast sauce to go with that, which is basically ketchup, mayonnaise, and a little bit of few ingredients. If you Google that, there's lovely recipes out there. And my dad has one that has 20 ingredients in it, but very simplified it down.
You don't need it.
But ideally being is the fact that smoked salmon, a little bit of melon, some prawns for people arriving there, and just have them left up on the table. So you're not worrying about, leave them on a big plate or leave them on a big presenting dish. Just leave them there and let people help themselves away with some lovely good brown bread.
That's the second you said about the stuffing as well, and you're right. You can do an awful lot in terms of, the way you present it can make life an awful lot easier, as opposed to spoon up 14 portions.
That if you have space in your kitchen where you can leave it up on a table and people are coming in and they're chatting to you as they're having their prawns, and even you can be mulling around inside the kitchen, keeping an eye on your turkey and keeping an eye on your gravy, and that allows you to interact as well, and you don't feel isolated inside.
Give them something to pick at as well, the main course and the main event, the turkey itself.
I do get a lot of texts over
everybody chats as texts.
You do that in Christmas morning, actually. So basically what I say is this: look, a half an hour per kilo and an hour over. So the average board being 4 kilos. So you're looking at 2 hours/3 hours. So you're floating somewhere between 2:30 and 3:30. Now, if the fire alarm goes off at some stage when you're inside the kitchen, you're in big trouble. Mm-hmm. Ideally being, it's the worst thing to do to turkey is overcook it. So just don't hesitate to think, oh my God, my turkey's ready now, rarely, nothing else is ready. Take out the turkey. Let it sit beside you, put the tin foil on, and I'm a huge fan of basting. Basically, just tilting your pan to the side and just pouring those juices back onto it, or pouring those juices back into it.
How often?
Because every 10, 15 minutes.
Oh, that often,
And don't worry about opening and closing the oven door, you know what I mean? It's not going to collapse or anything like that. Once you think the turkey skin has got colour on it, put a sheet of greaseproof and some tin foil on it. Turn down your oven ever so slightly and just let the cooking do itself then. I think if we stress sometimes about temperatures and times, and another tip is that the leg on the turkey, if it twists loose, very loose, and it's kind of shaking in your hand, the drumstick, you're nearly there.
But you're looking for the juices to run clear.
I'm looking for the juices to run clear. So ideally being is that, for a 4 kilo bird, nothing less than 3 hours. But again, even if it's 3 hours and you take it out and you still feel it hasn't air, sticking a knife into it, take the knife out, tip it with your finger or tip it with your tongue. If the knife is red hot, good to go.
180?
I started 180 for about half an hour and then I bring it back down to 160.
Okay.
And I might cook mine just a little bit longer, but at a lower temperature. And I'd rather it's got that kind of slow cooking rather than that big massive roast.
Absolutely. The ham is
the ham. I've kind of gone away from the ham over the last couple of years. What I've done is I've done the line of bacon instead, because what I found is that I can fit the line of bacon and the turkey into the oven at the same time.
That helps.
So what I do is I like to cook off the line of bacon the night before, cool it down. I just take it out of the juice and let it cool itself naturally, and then I mustard, brown sugar, honey, a little bit of pinch of Chinese five spice. That's ready to go. So maybe an hour before the turkey's ready, I just slip the bacon in the bottom of the
And if we're the doing oven. The traditional joint, you can boil it on Sunday?
Boil it on Sunday, have it ready for yourself for Monday. And what I do is, even Sunday night then, I kind of let it cool in the water for about an hour. I drain the water off, then I take that thick fat that's on it, but I leave some of the small fat that's on it. And again, then the same thing, massage your English mustard, your honey, your brown sugar, and a little pinch of Chinese spice in on top of it.
Anything else that we really need to know?
I believe that keep your desserts as simple as you can. Don't hesitate to buy something. After stressing all day long doing something, give yourself a break.
Nothing wrong with
a nice apple pie, a nice crumble, I'm not overly gone on Christmas pudding myself, but a Christmas pudding, custard, just keep it simple. Meringues, get some strawberries when you're uptown, buy some meringues, and just whip up a little bit of cream. Just don't over, at that stage, an awful lot of people I find after the turkey, they're done. So there's an hour or two, and there's boxes and boxes and boxes of sweets around the place. And what we often do at home is we melt off some sweets and we'll drizzle that over our ice cream.
There you go.
And if at all, somebody's turkey left over, going back to the curry, make yourself a Thai red curry. For a Thai red curry recipe. For keep simple as this, as light and as easy as you can for yourself.
Even if you were to go to a jar.
Boiled rice and a Thai red curry. A jar of curry. Cut up the turkey. Even cut up the turkey on Christmas Day when you're cleaning down. Just have it broken up. Put it into a plate for yourself. Let it go cold. Put it into the fridge. Follow the morning. Make your curry sauce. Put your turkey on top of it and rice. I guarantee you it's a winner. And it's plus, it'll probably take you about half an hour inside in the kitchen.
And so that's the winning part.
That's the winning part.
If you cook, you don't wash up. That's the other rule.
Well, that's the rule, Laurels. Yeah.
Somebody else does it. We appreciate it. And we wish you the best of luck with your Christmas dinner as well. And I hope we've got you a few less texts.
Thank you very much indeed.
Frank Landy there from the Rowan Tree in Ennis. And I hope that's been of help to you. It's 086-1800-964 for your texts as well. And we will be back with more in a moment.
Clare FM's Morning Focus.
In association with Frank Hogan, Mercedes-Benz Limerick, serving Clare and the Midwest. Your local Mercedes-Benz dealer. Visit frankhogan.ie for exceptional offers.